What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb, Berlin, Zlotik, yeah.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
I was very well up until these motherfucking technical difficulties. But you know what? I'm not gonna let that paint the show. I'm not gonna let that paint the tone. I'm gonna start fresh and
I too am well. Thank you.
Look, I'm frazzled. Yeah, all right, yeah. Good to hear it.
Yeah, there we go. We got there in the end.
This is what
people tune in for. This opening.
That's all they tune in for.
The average listener turns off 20 seconds into the episode.
So the 5 seconds in, we're immediately disappointed.
Yeah. I have been good. How have you been?
I have been well. What have I been doing? I'm waiting for the tap, Terry, every time you tell me.
No
IPA today?
No. How was your Father's Day?
it was good. you motherfucker. Yeah. For a second, I thought there was some actual, like, oh, I'd rather not get into why I'm not drinking a beer right now. Now, hang on a sec, Terry. I'm turning my levels down even more because I'm way too loud there. Okay, what are you drinking?
Oh, I'm drinking a White Hag, the Puka. Now, let me tell you about this little thing.
How are they spelling Puka?
P-U-C-A. Like, oh, Irish style. I
did not see that coming.
You thought it was P-O-O-K-A?
I thought it was double K, to be honest.
Oh, like the Puka.
Yeah, Puka, I don't know.
There's a father on the U. And this is a dry hopped lemon sour.
Mad for the citrus,
so I don't know what we're in for here.
You're going to love it. You love the citrus.
I got a, what do they call it? A hamper of craft beers off Bonnie for Father's Day.
That's nice. How'd she get served? Hey, you like that?
No, not at all. That's my daughter you're talking about there. So,
let's see if she knows her draft beer like her old man.
Ooh, it is sour. I tell you,
put it away, Terry.
No,
you don't have to keep the charade on.
Oh, my tongue is dancing. There's like little lad. I have one of these. You could only have the one, you know.
Yeah,
but it's good. I like it.
But that just means it was terrible. I would never have it again. If it makes you do that, you're like, it's a shame we're not covering Lemon of Troy tonight because you're making the face of everyone in that episode. Well, I'll tell you something, Terry.
Snapple?
There's no tap to it.
Is it Snapple? Is it sugar-free?
It's a Snapple Mango Madness. And no, it is not sugar-free.
Well,
is it?
I hope you like diabetes. Because that's a bottle of it right there.
Now, if you'll excuse me.
I will say for Snapple, they really did it right with the bottle.
It's their MO.
Yeah.
It's their calling card. Yeah, this, I'm going to say it on air right now, this is the nicest drink I've had on the podcast.
Oh, it looks good. Mm. I tell you what you want to do. You want to fill up a little tumbler like I have in my hand here with a bit it was a Father's Day gift as well.
Nice. Bonnie knocking it out of the park.
I tell you, she killed it. You fill that up with a little bit of vodka and then pour that mango thing in there.
God, that vodka
really
though.
Really take the edge off, or a bit of rum.
Vodka just reminds me of my days hanging out in Temple Bar. That's with all the other
But like, you drink it like a civilized person, you know? That's like a holiday, an island drink. A mango and
a tropical, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got me mango, yeah.
Hollow out a coconut and drink it out of that.
I'd be more of a bourbon man, Terry. Now.
You can't have bourbon and mango, though. It doesn't go
sure
together.
Sure you can.
No, it doesn't. It's like drinking bourbon and Fanta Orange. It just doesn't happen.
Do you know why they call it a bourbon, Terry? Let me stop you right there.
I'm not going to indulge
Wait
you.
No longer.
I'm not going to indulge you.
It's only a bourbon if it has been made in the great state of Kentucky. All right? So
I can't wait till we're getting like video podcasting because people would see my absolute Joe Bourbon over there telling me, what's your favorite bourbon? What's your favorite bourbon?
Jim Beam.
The cheapest of all fucking bourbons, like...
The only one
yeah,
know.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I just want to make sure you don't embarrass yourself when you're talking about bourbon with your bourbon friend.
Joe Rugby and Joe Bourbon.
Why have I got this tag of a tag-along rugby fan? Because I like rugby. I did like rugby
you,
at the time.
You had never mentioned one thing about rugby, and then you started waffling on about Argentina being a team on the rise. And me and Andy Ryan were like, the record scratched. Like, what is he talking about? Like,
I felt like before that point we had discussed rugby several times, yeah. And it was never
No.
I tell you, it got me all wrong. Anyway, it looks like the lockdown is finally, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I'm a bit wary all the same now, to be honest.
How do you mean? Elaborate.
A lot of people going, doing a lot of stuff quickly, you know?
I think it's too soon.
Yeah.
You're that scientist who's just getting the numbers in the underground basement, looking at the TV with your glasses down at the end of your nose like, this can't be.
There's a big spike. Wave. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what my problem is, right? I think with now I don't like to talk politics, Terry, mm-hmm. but Leo Varadkar is doing my head in. I'll tell you why. It's okay. I'll edit this out.
Tell me why. Sorry.
No, I want your full attention, Terry.
Okay, close the door.
I'm keeping this.
Just fucking leave this in your podcast. I don't give a fuck.
Yes. Yes. This is the content that we're here for.
Well.
All right. Oh, baby.
Well, I'm going to be all thrown off now.
I'm submitting this one for the Pod Awards. Listen. If I can get back to you about
the difference about when Leo. Somebody interrupts you when we're recording and when somebody interrupts me when we're recording.
Listen, there's two women in my house. I got lucky the last week. All right. Anyway, I was watching him giving a speech. I have a huge. What is he right? What is he doing with that hair? What is it? This is phony, like. So transparent, like, hey, look, my hair is ruffled too. We are all in this together. Why doesn't he? But it's not hair to just run a bit of water through and a comb. Like, I know it's long. All of our hairs are long. Man, look at you. Me. Your hair looks great. Yeah. But, like, what's he? He's going for this Boris Johnson buffoon look now. He looks terrible.
I don't like him, and I don't like this whole rotating Taoiseach thing that's going to be happening, which is, you know.
What's happening?
That's, you know, the way it's like a coalition government that's going to be forming.
Yeah. I got a text from Faye. Yeah. Saying, my apologies.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, yeah. What's this about some coalition government?
So, well, this is the whole thing. Like, it's going to be Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and the Green Party if they get the deal. But it's going to be a rotating Taoiseach, which is weird.
That's insanely weird.
Yeah.
Didn't we vote for Sinn Féin?
But Sinn Féin...
I don't know, seats and...
They didn't get the majority. Like, yeah, you know, they got much. A load of first round, you know, seats or whatever, but it was...
I feel like it just kind of just slowly goes back to the way it was every time.
Yeah, democracy is a failure, my friend. Anyway.
But I have to say, I'm going to miss aspects of...
Lockdown?
Lockdown.
People.
I'll tell you one thing that I will really miss... I love not having to worry about what to do when I'm meeting someone for the first time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Handshake, hug, kiss on the cheek.
Well,
you know,
you don't have to.
Now
do
it's
that.
Just how are you?
Yeah, but you're not going to be handshaking with people or like that anymore. Like,
yeah, I love it. Yeah, exactly. So now I don't have to think about what's appropriate here. Yeah,
it's great.
I love just being like, all right.
We were playing football at the weekend. First one back. It was great, tremendous fun. But we were doing the old elbow instead of the handshake or anything like that, or the good game at the end. You just gave it an old tap.
Good game.
I tell you what, first half hat trick for your boy right here. But I was in a sore state of affairs. We all were. We're all texting the next day. A bunch of middle-aged men. That's what we are now.
Yep, you're not wrong.
It was terrible. Well, it was great fun, but I was
in
a bad way for like 2 days. Like my lower back, my ribs, like.
And have you been doing much exercising in the off season?
No, not at all. Really, I had been.
not at all.
I had been doing running at the start, and then there's too many people around for me to like enjoy that. I think I'm gonna try get back into it. I've just been actually just like dieting more, like keeping a lid on that, as opposed to.
Well, they say abs are made in the kitchen, Terry.
Oh well, who says that?
Well, my father said that.
Look at this washboard, Andy.
I don't know why I went. You see this? Smashes a glass.
This is something you'll never have.
You're nothing. I tell
you
what,
big man, huh? Man in the house.
You obviously have heard the story since you tagged me in a post on Facebook, but
Chris D'Elia.
Oh man,
it's everybody. Joe Rogan, it is, and all his cronies are, you know.
I seen Joe Rogan and Joey Diaz were trying to be cancelled, or there were people were trying to cancel them. I don't quite know what. I mean, I see. It was like a video that was like, it's been up for like 10 years. It was like about Joey Diaz breaking into someone's house and going down on someone or something like that. No. But like someone he knew, unless I'm thinking of something.
No, is Joey different. Diaz the big fat guy?
Yeah,
yeah, and he kind of looks like Big Pussy from Sopranos. Yeah. So what it was he was saying when he was like doing the door at comedy clubs, or he was booking,
that he'd like to give them a blowjob.
I hate that kind of macho comedy and like they're like, oh, brilliant, or you know,
I know,
like, yeah, all
I know,
and like I dislike Joe Rogan anyway, and like this is just like, okay, more for me to like not go near him. Like
even before all this cancellation stuff, I think people have been mad hating on Joe Rogan, and to be honest, like I can, you know what, it was fucking hilarious. It was Bill Burr was on his podcast.
I saw it,
Did you see? Yeah. And like,
oh, fuck
no
you.
No one speaks to like Joe Rogan the way Bill Burr does.
All I do is I watch the news once every 2 weeks. I'm like, mask or no mask? Still mask? All right, mask. That's all I give a fuck about. I don't care.
But even they say you shouldn't wear a mask unless you're treating a coronavirus patient. The World Health Organization.
Yeah, but they didn't say that initially. They didn't say it initially.
No, they didn't.
They did. And then it gradually, and then everybody wore the fucking masks. This is like rollerblading. Everybody fucking rollerbladed, and then there was that one fucking homophobic joke, and then everybody acted like they never did it. And then 100 million fucking rollerblades got thrown into the fucking ocean. We all wore masks. And then all of a sudden, people are fucking sitting there. What? You don't have the body type for it, dude. Your fucking knuckles would scrape on the ground. Even with that extra 2 inches. I just love how wearing a mask became like this fucking, like, soft thing that you were doing, like being courteous. Bitches. Being courteous. What is it for bitches? That was so stupid.
You're wearing a mask. First of all,
oh, God, you're so tough with your fucking open nose and throat. Gee, Joe, and your 5 o'clock shadow. This is a man right here. A man doesn't wear a mask.
It was so perfect. But the Chris D'Elia stuff, I was like, first I seen, and I was like, oh, I was like, shit. And then the more you see, it's like, for anyone who doesn't know, I guess he, like, he's a comedian, an American comedian. He's got a podcast. I was a big, big fan of him.
And he's a fan of him because it's his brand of humor. Unfunny.
You son of a bitch. He's
not
it's
funny.
A shame because it's
a shame
because
he. It's not a shame. He's
his stand up, as we discussed on the podcast, has always been terrible, but his podcast I enjoyed. But yeah, there was people who tweeted like screenshots of him, like essentially like grooming.
Yeah.
Like 16, 17 year olds, and like being kind of threatening and blackmailing and that sort of thing.
Well, it was kind of like when he didn't get his way, he turned very, very nasty very quickly.
And the thing is, I was wondering, because I kept thinking, I wonder if he's going to release a podcast this week and talk about it, but like he hasn't. And I'm sure he won't for a while. But the whole thing with him is like Louis C.K., like his. Now, I don't know if I know all the facts, but Louis C.K.'s one was weird. But as far as I know, it was all consensual and
no,
of
it was
age.
Not. It was not.
It wasn't consensual.
So Louis C.K.'s thing was...
What happened there?
He would just start, like, whip his dick out and start jerking off.
I thought he asked them.
No. It was kind. He would kind of joke about it, and then he would just do it in front of... And, like, there was one woman who said, like, he locked the door to the room so she couldn't leave. And he was, like, doing it in front of her and stuff like that. Like,
well,
so
that
it's,
is different.
You know, yeah. Oh, yes.
I was going to say, look what happened to him. I didn't know any of that. I thought he had asked everyone before, do you mind if I do this? And they all said, yeah, and just thought, like,
no,
this is weird.
Yeah.
Okay, I completely got the story wrong, so.
He would say it kind of jokingly and then would just do it. And then they're like, okay, what, you know. But
what
like,
the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Well, it's fucking grim.
It seems like it's just a real, like, poison. Modern comics, anyway. I'm sure going back is probably fucking bad as well, but, like, the modern comics seem, like, worse because...
See, it's just
because
there's Twitter now. Like, I'd say it was going on all the
time.
Yeah,
maybe, but, like, if you think of people like Ray Romano and Jerry Seinfeld and, like, to a lesser extent, like, Chris Rock or something, like, they seem more interested in the science of crafting a joke than they do about,
but
like...
But then, don't forget, like, Jerry Seinfeld was, like, 40 and going out with a 17-year-old, you know?
I'll never forget that.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just bizarre. Like, it's a weird sort of, like, I don't know. It's a weird...
It's a power thing, and it's, like, the same thing that, like, there's a big purge in, like, wrestling at the moment that, like, loads of, like... I guess the next batch of like independent wrestlers that were going to be signed with WWE or, you know, have been like, there's this like, it's speak out movement. There's loads of them that have been like fired and whatever, like
about shit that's been going on in WWE.
No, kind of when they're on the independent circuits, like Matt Riddle would be one of them that was like, and he looks like he's going to be one of their next big stars. But these accusations have come up. Like there's a lot.
Against Matt Riddle.
Yeah. There's a big list of people that, like, you wouldn't know them if you're a casual. Yeah. Like, I only know them by name. I haven't really, like, watched a lot of them. But, like, it seems to be a reckoning, shall we say. And it's the same in the Irish comedy scene as well.
I've seen that. Yeah, there's loads going on in the Irish comedy scene about, like, what was it? Like, did you get much, like...
I did on my timeline on Twitter, like...
Cause yeah, like I'm on mine too, but I was trying. I didn't know who people were really talking about or what exactly was going on. I just seen there was loads of people sort of talking about it, but I couldn't see. There's some weird defamation law in Ireland, or something.
There is,
where you can't name them, or something like that.
They're say like Dream Gun, for example.
Yeah, who was the guy? I seen that. They were working
so
with the guy.
I don't know if you ever listened to the podcast as opposed to seeing the live shows, but like he was like...
Listen to one or two.
So he's the guy that kind of sounds like... he always plays like the kid in it. Like he always plays the younger lad in it. And he was actually at the show we went to see, the Shawshank Redemption one. But he was sitting there, he wasn't doing anything. And I was like, that's mad because he's normally one of the main stars.
Oh yeah,
and then then it was shortly afterwards he was...
Wasn't with them anymore.
Yeah. So like, yeah. But it's interesting, just like they named him and like other people, they haven't been naming a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
It's good. It's good.
It's very good.
It's much better that all this information is out there. Like, it's just so sad to see that it's actually so fucking prominent. Like.
And like, what happened to like decent people, I guess, you know? Like.
Yeah. You know, like it's just, I don't know, I'm really just, yeah, anyway.
Have you been watching any movies lately?
No, Terry, I haven't. I haven't really been watching much. I was watching Liverpool winning 4-0 yesterday, Terry.
Football's back, you know.
It's back, baby.
Yeah.
I tell you, I'm absolutely devastated that they got rid of those head-to-head leagues in the fantasy football. Where was the warning there?
I know.
And I just like, beat Mark.
Ah, well, so was next year.
Do you have to take a sip as you say that? But that's none of my business. That's far too sour. That was literally the scene in The Simpsons where he's taking it. Now, if you don't mind, all this talking is making me hungry.
Since I've been back in the office, I've been reading a lot more, right?
Alert.
No, but I'm reading a book called The Soprano Sessions.
What's that about?
Hey, there you go. But it's... it's an episode by episode recap from these two journalists that were writing about it at the time, and they've gone back to, they compiled their notes again and put it in a hardback form or whatever. But right. It's fascinating seeing like their writings on it at the time and stuff like that, and like it just makes me want to watch the show so much.
I really want to watch it again. Oh, yeah.
It's like fucking, I forget, but it's just so much fun remembering like all the shit that happened.
Yeah, I seen it, like, there was your man Michael Imperioli and Steve Shurupa.
Yeah, yeah.
They were on Joe Rogan's podcast last week.
Christopher, I haven't listened to and it. Bacala.
Yes. Bacala's aged very well.
Yeah, I mean, at the start, like he wore a fat suit at the start of the show.
Did he?
I remember thinking he looked weird when like he first was introduced as Junior's Minder. That like, because I remember seeing him almost like catching him later in the series. And then when I went back and watched it, seeing him when he first came in, like, he's funny looking. That looks like a fake belly or something like that. Like, you know? But yeah, he wasn't fat enough. So, but now he, by the time he finished,
now he's filled the role. Yeah, you might say.
Very good.
Thank you.
So I'm in season 5. I'm reading about season 5.
And is it like a lot of behind the scenes stuff? And,
yeah. There's like he does like they have their essay, I guess, on each episode. And, you know, loads of insight and stuff like that. And then they have, like, a little addendum. So, like, be, like, a citation when it's, like, Tony Blundetto has come in and be, like,
right.
number 22. And then you look at the bottom, it's, like, 22. Little factoid about Steve Buscemi or, you know, the guy who plays
Feach. I forgot Steve Buscemi was in it.
Yeah, he, you know what? He actually directed everybody's favourite episode of The Sopranos.
The one where they're in the woods?
The Pine Barrens, yes.
He directed it, did he? Yeah. Brilliant.
What are those, Tic Tacs?
I just found them. I didn't know I had them on me.
You had Tic Tacs all along? Give me some.
There ain't no more. I ate them.
Selfish prick, I'm dying here.
Now fucking die already.
Quite
That's just like a pure comedy episode, that one.
It is and it isn't, though, because it's like, everybody always remembers stuff about like Chris and Polly, but then like, there's the stuff, like, the other stuff with, like, Tony and his guma is, like, he realizes that she's just, like, his mom, and she's, like, throws that big piece of meat at the back of his head. You're like, whoa.
What a great, like, just what a great, like, a great role, but, like, such a great choice, like, a great fit.
Oh, he Soprano.
While of him being Tony Soprano. Dude. Like, I don't think there's ever been a more perfect casting. And it's funny, actually, I don't know if I mentioned this in the book, but your man, who's the guy I just mentioned who was on the podcast?
Shripa.
Christopher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Christopher, whatever you were saying, that like Gandolfini added a lot of stuff because when Christopher said something at the end of the pilot, he was like, I could go to Hollywood and sell my story or whatever like that. And apparently in the script, he was supposed to just kind of put his arm around him in like a fatherly way or whatever. Yeah. But instead he like got him by the throat and like pushed him up. And like, that was all him in the moment. And he's like, I really think that the writer sort of, after that point, like wrote Tony differently and he sort of shaped it, you know, that sort
there
of
was, like, there's a lot of like, they say he puts his own nuances on it.
Yeah.
Like, and
brilliant.
Even like this, they write about like this scene, like a scene when he's driving in the car and he's listening to a song that like, it's like you see his face and I can picture it when they're writing about it. It's like he's driving along, you know, he always sings to himself when he's in the car.
Yeah.
And then he's like, he's thinking about like his ex, the Russian one, is like, she's seeing like this guy he does business with.
Oh, yeah.
And he like shows up with it, like his face changes when he's driving along and it goes from like happiness at remembering the song to a bit of sadness to why he's remembering the song,
yeah,
to anger. And then like the next scene he like shows up at your man's house and like takes off his belt and starts whipping your man, like, and it's like, that's some of like the finest he's acting, not reacting or anything like that, like he's not saying anything, but it's just that's
purely
what
emoting,
it's like, what he's so good at, he's so capable at, like,
yeah,
his facial expressions, like, like
just even a sharp intake of breath that he has, you know, where he's sort of like,
yeah,
you know, like just breathing in through his nose, like a big deep breath. He's just like, You just so believe it, like all the little grievances, all the like little whatever,
but like the writing,
niggly things.
The writing is so good that like even like one of my favorite little bits that always sticks in my head. There's loads of little bits that always stick with me, but like when it's like Christopher shows up to the pork store and like Tony's like, "You're late." He's like, "Sorry, T. Highway's jammed with broken heroes on a last chance power drive." And I'm like, "Oh, of course, because they're jerseys, Bruce Jersey, Springsteen, yeah. You know."
I like it.
And he's like, "Don't be cute. Give me the money."
Oh, what a show. I've been trying to get, like, it's been on the TV. I have a series linked now. It's just kind of random episodes. But I keep saying to Kerry, "Come on, watch one." Like, I can't get around. And I keep thinking, like, what? Like,
you gotta
start. I've only ever seen it once.
You gotta start it from the beginning because, like,
I hate starting things in season one.
But like season one, like, you, it's so much different than you remember.
Right.
And it's so much more satisfying. Like, when, like, you watch all season one and it's like, oh yeah, that informs all the shit that goes on in season two with Rick Giaprile and stuff like that.
What year did it start? Or 98, was it, or something? Late 90s?
I think it was 98, because by the time season three finished, when it came back for season four, September 11 had happened. So that makes sense.
Right.
Like, it was like 98, 99, 2000, and then they came back. Season four was after September 11th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think so. So we're 98, 99, roughly.
If I may, Terry, I've been watching a bit of wrestling, and it's coming up to King of the Ring.
Uh-oh.
I'm very excited. Kurt Angle, I tell you what.
Is he bald?
He's not bald. But it was like, he finally got his medals back off Chris Benoit. Remember, Benoit stole his medals. And he had them in his crotch and all this. And like, he finally wins them, and he has this big Olympic ceremony in the ring. It's like confetti and like the podium and all this sort of stuff. And then Shane comes out, and the whole time Shane's talking about WCW or like whatever reason he came out, and the whole time Kurt's like looking at him just like, what the... Like, and every time he's like, nobody cares, like, you interrupt my ceremony for that. And then like whatever happens, Shane just keeps rolling with it. It's like, I don't care.
C has many other meanings too. C can stand for crayon, coyote, and C also stands for cookie, which is good enough for me.
What are you talking about? You're gonna come out here right in the middle of my award ceremony? You have no respect.
Kurt, you said time is precious. Let me get down to make sure you understand again to the last W. W stands for wrestling, which obviously you are very good at that. But W also stands for, I don't know, wussy.
Wussy.
Oh my God!
Oh my God, the angle slam from atop the metal stand. Kurt Angle slamming, and now he's got the angle lock on.
He's just a man just unleashed at the moment.
He won King of the Ring the year before, I think, if my memory serves.
I didn't watch it around. I know, I think him and Shane have that.
They have
match at this King of the Ring.
Yeah, it's fucking dead.
King of the Ring.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
But yeah, match. Triple H just got injured.
Tore his quad. Yeah.
Austin, I have to say, I've actually been kind of liking Austin a bit more. He's kind of funny. Like,
yeah,
you know?
Like, that's the thing. Like, especially now, as it goes on the next few months, he gets this kind of weird, needy, like, psychopath stuff.
Like, I don't deserve this, Vince.
Yeah.
You know, he keeps saying it every time. He's like, my name is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah. Every time.
It'll be coming up to the moment that, you know, breaks wrestling fans forever when he comes up with the what catchphrase.
That's coming up
in the next few months as well. Like,
oh
yeah,
God, I hated it.
Yeah, well, you know.
What I mean, I'm sure he must regret that, because it just overtook every promo for like what, a decade.
It still is, like, people still do it. Like, you know, the crowd still do the what chant. Like,
that infuriates me so much. I can't stand it.
Before we get on to The Simpsons, I watched a little movie that on Amazon Prime, for those of you out there have it. 90 minutes. It's called 7500, right?
Yeah.
And it stars my boy JGL, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And he plays a co-pilot of a plane that there's a hijacking attempt. While he's flying from Berlin to somewhere. and there's a hijacking attempt, but it's set all in the cockpit. Like, the camera never leaves the cockpit.
Oh, I like those kinds.
Yeah, it was interesting. I like it because I'm like, okay, how are they going to figure this out? Like, the movie-making style. Like, what are they going to do to work around this? And it was just like... Yeah, I think it's not like you can't really make it that much longer, but it was just really, really interesting, kind of taut trailer. Yeah, it's all in real time, essentially, like, you know.
Deadly. I love those kind of movies.
It worked really well. And I was like, what's he been doing? Like, we hadn't done anything in like a few years. So it was like nice to see him again. I would recommend it for any of you out there. Like, a little, you know, I stuck it on at 9.
90 minutes is a good time.
Yeah, stuck it on at 9. It was, you know, finished by 10:30. It was grand.
Ah, you know? I like it. I like it there.
7500.
7500 is the name?
Yeah. It's a code to tell whoever, your mission control or whatever they're called, that you're being hijacked. Is it 7500?
Does Joseph Gordon-Levitt still look 18?
He looks... I'd say he's close to the 40, but like, he plays a 31-year-old in it, and I was like, if I didn't know better, yeah, you'd probably say he was 31, you know?
Yeah. He's got that look about him, like.
Yeah.
He seems like, I don't know if it's just because he was a child in Third Rock from the Sun, like, but he really doesn't seem to have changed much. I mean, he has, obviously, but, you know. Anyway, Terry, can I ask you about The Simpsons for the look of
that? I guess.
More specifically, oh, by the way, Terry, I said I was going to do it, and I did it. If any one of our listeners is interested in what Put It in H, a diehard Simpsons podcast, thinks of Round Springfield last week, you just have to go and visit the Wikipedia page and check the reception. Because we there.
are we there?
The podcast Put It in H, a diehard Simpsons podcast, praised the episode for its high number of laughs per minute while still being full of heart.
That Patreon
and
is gonna,
I dare you to take it down.
That Patreon is going to be skyrocketing.
So now I just got to sit back and watch the money roll.
Can we just say a thank you to people who purchased t-shirts?
Thanks very much.
Big thank you for supporting the podcast. We still have a variety of sizes available.
And if you yourself want one, I'm just getting the link here. It's put-it-in-h. It's just loading. .company.site. So that's put-in-it-in.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Forget it.
We will put it in the show notes, okay? Andy is having an existential crisis on the other end of this.
I hate this thing. Yeah. I'm hating this home recording. We'll discuss it all.
Well, it's a pleasure to see you too.
I hate looking at you every Wednesday night. Now Thursdays.
Yeah.
Anyway, I kid, of course, Terry. You look great.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Springfield Connection is the 23rd episode in
Seamless.
And also, I immediately got distracted when I realised that Chelsea are beating City 1-0, Terry.
Oh.
Could we... This would wrap it up for us, right?
I don't know. I'm more paying attention to fourth place.
Well...
Pulisic. You know, I brought me into my fantasy team this week, but, you know, that's for naught.
Pulisic? Anyway, I'm going to just get on with The Simpsons because we'll talk forever about other topics. The episode was written by Jonathan Collier with input from David Merkin and directed by Mark Kirkland. It was inspired by producer Mike Rice's wife, who had debated becoming a police officer. The episode draws on influences from the 80s police drama Hill Street Blues and the 71 film The French Connection. Includes references to McGruff the Crime Dog and the theme to Star Wars. I was very surprised that they got the rights for the Star Wars theme.
They're both owned by Fox, though. So
right. That, but were they then?
Well, it was Fox Studios that did the film. Like, they always did Star Wars.
Oh.
Okay. No, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's Lucasfilms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. What I thought was interesting about this was contributors to compilation works analyzing The Simpsons from philosophical and cultural perspectives have cited and discussed this episode. So this is like a hot philosophical episode.
About corruption and police? Like,
well, when I was reading through the Wikipedia earlier and I seen that article in it and I seen that it went nowhere, that's what inspired me and reminded me that, oh yeah, I'll just put it in H says, blah, 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 blah. If anyone can just throw their thesis up here. Anyway, it was written by Jonathan Collier. According to Collier, the inspiration was from, as we said, Mike Rice's wife. At one point, she had seriously decided that she wanted to become a police officer, but it didn't happen. And the joke where the police officers laugh at Marge for a long time, that was pitched by David Merkin and features a crazy twist at the end where Wiggum says, "Welcome aboard." And Merkin was a big fan of said joke. What I thought was in as well, Marge uses a McGriff the crime dog hand puppet.
Yeah.
And it's based on McGruff the crime dog. It's like they couldn't afford the rights to McGruff the crime dog, but they've got the full Star Wars thing.
Who knows? They could, those McGruff people could be pretty litigious when they want to be.
Well, and as well, when the Korean animators were animating the sequence of Marge with the training sequence, you know, where she shoots thing. They didn't know how to correctly animate the shell coming out of the gun because guns were illegal in Korea. So they had to consult with the American animators who told them to watch movies so they could properly animate the guns.
Just do it.
Just do it, all right? Watch a movie. What do I care? We're paying you $2 an hour, right? Mark Kirkland found that the original design for Marge's police uniform was Marge's hair standing up as it normally is with the hat on top, but they found it made for awkward staging and scenes, which made sense. And I actually really quite liked Marge's look of the hair tied down.
Me too,
down.
Like.
The reception, I hear you ask, Terry. It got a Nielsen rating of 7.9 and was the fourth highest rated show on Fox Network that week.
It's bad to think that they're never like number one, isn't it?
I know. Doesn't like it season seem six like it should be, is like peak Simpsons. Our friends that had never met, I can't believe it's a bigger and better updated unofficial Simpsons guide, said the highlight of this episode has to be Marge's training, especially her sharp shooting on the firing range. And if those sort of comments can get on Wikipedia, anything can. Anyway, that's all I got.
Well, getting into it, let me ask you your opinion to start off. How did you find it?
I liked it.
Me too.
I liked it. It didn't blow me away. I was a big fan of like certain chunks of it. You know what I mean? I love the whole gambling card game scenes in The Simpsons kitchen. I like Marge's training sequence and all that. It was good. I kind of found myself a little bit bored watching it, if I'm being honest.
I kind of did at the start, and I liked how it went at the end in that it was actually kind of like action movie, you know. There was a big finale, you know.
Yeah,
like, because I was thinking to myself, is it getting a bit like vignette-y again, or a bit sketchy, like the 2001 Greyhounds?
Yeah,
you know. But they kind of then flattened it out and streamlined it. I had a lot of big laughs though, to be honest. Like,
I did too. I mean,
I think about the time when Marge arrests Homer. Yeah. Is when the episode really kind of clicked properly. It was a bit wavy before that, like, for me. Yeah. For me.
For me?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be inclined to sort of agree. I liked Marge's sort of... Marge just has such a, like... She's not really scared. I mean, she's obviously scared of things, but I just love that Marge just goes into these things. Like, she's like the polar opposite almost to Homer.
But she cares about things, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
And like, she cares too much about the job, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
She does it too well, like, you know, or she's too by the book.
But you know what, Terry? I'm going to save my final thoughts for my final thoughts, if you will. Because I don't know if I've even made up my mind
yet. This guy, huh?
I don't know what I think of it. Let's kind of jump around a bit.
Like I did like
jump around. Jump around.
Back it up, back it in. Let me begin.
What a tune.
Yeah. Terrible.
It's really bad. It's so bad out of context now.
Anyway, yeah, I like the start. Like, I like the idea of like Homer so indignant at like the Springfield Pops. Like, you know, I think that's great. Like, could that bassoon come in any later?
I thought like it was very almost un-Homer because he's so like. He's almost so dignified in this scene. Like.
I think that's kind of what I liked about it. That it was like, that's it, we're leaving.
First of all, I was a fan of just the name Jebediah Springfield Park. Mm. I don't know why. It just gave me a little... any mention of Jebediah Springfield. Yes. I feel like there should be more of him in it, to be honest. But yeah, and just like, they couldn't have asked for more. A lovely hilltop gig. Terry, tell me you hate that IPA.
I like it, but it's too...
Come on, it's making you wince every time you take a sip.
I like... It's like having... like it's like lemon, you know? It is lemon, I guess.
It's just pure lemon, it looks like.
Yeah. It's too lemony, but at the same time, I like the aftertaste, you know? The first one is very, like, cool. But then it, like, dances around your tongue afterwards for a while. It's... Look, I'm not saying go out and get it. But if you like the white hag...
I think that is what you're saying.
These guys, I never really go wrong with them, to be honest. White Hag, they're pretty good. Pretty, pretty good.
Well, with a name like that, you know you're getting a quality beverage.
Yeah, Snapple.
Yeah. Snapple's been around for decades, mate.
Yeah.
Yellow flash in the pan. Glass bottles.
Yeah.
That's what you're paying for. That's why it's so expensive.
That's what you're paying for. That's the money. That's where the money goes. And like... The whole thing with Snake I liked as well to start.
His little card game.
Yeah.
Just the whole, I mean, one, why are they walking back? Like, were they drinking at this gig? Is that why, like, they're walking through a dangerous neighborhood?
Yeah, walking through the neighborhood for story purposes, Andy.
Still.
And did you notice that, like, well, I remember on, it never used to be on, maybe the Sky One thing where Snake would pull the knife.
I must warn you, sometimes ordinary people get a surge of adrenaline. See?
Yeah, I was quite surprised. I don't think I remembered the knife scene. I remember thinking that was a bit like, what, he's just going to stab her repeatedly in the side?
She would chase him down the alleyway and he would turn around and then Marge would hit him with, they would just cut to like Marge hitting him with the can lid. They wouldn't have the whole thing where he flicks the knife and she'd be like, I have to warn you that, you know, like.
Yeah, there people was, can be capable of blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Like, one thing I was a bit sad about, and it's weird for me to be saying this, but the kids were a bit light on the kids. This week
it was very light on the kids, actually. This was almost all adult,
but
I kind of feel like the Lisa one last week, that was fairly kid friendly or kid heavy with Bart's side. Like, it was Bart and Lisa that were really the storyline in that one.
Yeah, so I guess I would have liked
mixing it up a bit,
a little bit more of them sprinkled in though, like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you get like Bart, that scene where Bart is going out on the his skateboard.
I love that.
This padding is so soft on my knuckles. I could keep going all day.
You know what as well? The scene, I don't know why I liked it. I hated it as a kid. And I don't know if they've done it this way on purpose. Remember when like Lisa's like, was that the most exciting thing you've ever done? And Marge is like,
well, it was pretty exciting. But celery soup's pretty exciting too.
But celery soup is exciting.
I love that. Like,
and it's like just the mad choppy animation. Like,
I thought it was so funny this time around. Like,
I liked it this time as an adult.
I generally liked what Homer was doing. Like, the even though he is treating Marge like, you know, a piece of shit for parts of the episode,
yeah,
it's not intentional. Like, it's not, there's no malice in him.
Yeah,
you know,
like, you can tell even like when he's like, when she does arrest him in the episode, yeah, and he's parked over three handicap spaces, and he's like wait here and let me know if a real cop shows up. Like, you can even tell by the way he says it, like, that's a terrible thing to say, but he means it in a sort of like, me and you are,
yeah, exactly,
sort of, yeah, like, it's not, he's still with her, but like, he doesn't realize how
he doesn't mean it as in like, you're not a good cop. It's more, yeah, like, you know, you're not one
let's,
of them
let's yeah let's yeah. scam this system all the way to the like, top together.
Even like the whole, like, how he is, his fears or his worries in the episode are like kind of natural or whatever. Like,
yeah,
like, I don't know about you, but if Kerry told you she wanted to become a cop, I would, yeah, be worried. I wouldn't be pleased about it. Yeah, there's sort of that stuff there,
especially a cop in America. Like,
yeah, well, and look, I did like how they touched on it, like the whole corruption side, yeah, of things. And like,
again, there were certain jokes in this that, like, given the sort of
climate we're in now,
yeah, I thought a bit like, you know what I mean? Where I might have, you know, I don't know. Like, there was a few. It's probably because it's so prescient or whatever the word is.
This is 25 years ago. Like, this.
Yeah.
And like, I remember seeing like people quoting that Lisa thing, going about how it keeps the status quo for the rich, and, you know, shouldn't we be looking to resolve things through grassroots movements or whatever like that.
Yeah,
and like, somebody, because I follow a few, the like Al Jean, Mike Rice, Bill, yeah, Oakley, I follow them on Twitter, and like, people were tweeting at them saying, you know, this great piece of writing from 25 years ago, and I think it is very sort of, it's good that they put it in there, like, that they're pointing this stuff out.
Yeah.
That, like, now, like, it's obviously not as serious with like the Springfield Police Force because they're just a bunch of fucking fat idiots, but like. Yeah. You know, corruption is much lower level. Like,
yeah,
you know,
but it, like, you can see it's there because it's like, you can't become a police officer overnight. It takes 1 weekend of training. Your man's just like, when do we get the freaking guns? You know, like,
yeah.
Like, those sort of jokes are like, Jesus, like, that's actually kind of what it is.
Another one that wasn't in the
wasn't that?
No, definitely wasn't.
The freaking guns,
yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
Really?
I love to hear what your rules. And it doesn't, like, I don't think it adds that much to it, like, that character.
No, it's a throwaway.
Yeah. Sort of guy. But yeah. It, again, it's kind of a poignant thing that, you know, like, there's people out there that want to become cops so they can have the authority to shoot guns at people.
Yeah.
You know?
There's just people like that. Like.
But back to the jokes, I guess.
We keep veering off into these serious topics, and I don't know how to get out of
them. I really enjoyed Mo in this episode.
Yeah.
Especially at the hair salon.
Yeah.
When she's like, I didn't know you'd come here. It's like, well, my roots don't say so chestnut by themselves. Officer Simpson.
Oh, hey, we've offended Herman.
Oh, I'm just going out for some fresh air.
That guy sure likes his fresh air. None of that for me. Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, you said, like, there's not enough Jebediah Springfield. Criminally underused character, and they can have 1,000 uses for him, is Herman.
Herman
is so fucking good. And he's in, like, 5 episodes.
He fits that, like, shiesty, seedy bad guy.
Like
who's not like a tough guy, like, yeah, Snake, you know what I mean? Yeah. They could replace a few Snake storylines and just put him in a bit more.
So good. Like, and it's like, oh, we've offended Herman. And he's like, yeah, just gone out for some air.
That's a good impression, actually.
I won't be able to do it again, I don't think. It's too fine a line.
It is.
Like, counterfeit jeans.
I'll foil by my own shiny merchandise.
And like, when they got to that bit, because I was like, I had a couple of big laugh out loud moments leading up to that. Like, the whole thing with Barney, I love.
Where, like, this beer.
Yeah.
In this case.
There's only one case left. And then, like, Homer's reacting, all right, everybody, pipe down.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when Herman goes in there and he's like, you got the stuff? It's like, they're just going to sample. It's like, these are fabulous. And then when they're, like, all laughing, it's like, you know, a great undercut of like an action movie trope where Homer's like, I just had to come in here and see what's so funny. Yeah. Like,
plus, I like how quick Homer gets it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, a counterfeit jeans operation in my own car. Oh. I did like as well, just going back a little bit, when Marge, I like the visual gag of Marge coming in
with Mom's the, home.
Yeah, she had the hard rock teacher. They didn't have my size, but you get the point. But it's the Mom's Home that I didn't like.
Oh, did you not? I really like that.
Because it was too much.
Like, that's the point. Like, yeah, right. Yeah. That's the point. Because it's supposed to be like something like that out of a TV show
something
or a movie.
Would say.
Yeah, no, but
yeah,
like,
I
you
suppose.
Know,
I'm gonna whatever the first person that comes in here, and Homer's like, greeting.
Exactly.
You know, it's like that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the stuff with the police, like there's a lot of good stuff. Even like Wiggum, like I don't know, Wiggum can be very hit or miss for me as I get older. Like,
yeah,
he's better in small doses, I think.
Did you like him with the whole
what? This better be about pizza.
Yeah, it's like, get him inside. And it's like, yeah, thank you. Pretty hard.
We got everything we need on you.
I was a fan of Wiggum where he's like, all right. Settle, people. People, settle.
Yeah.
People. And I love the fact that they give, like, he gives Ward and Van Zuylen donut land when they fry up a fresh batch, let us know. You got Keneally and Earhart. Now, is there a joke that I'm missing here?
Right.
Like, Keneally and Earhart, back them up. I feel like those are names chosen because they're a parody of...
Like, Amelia Earhart is...
Keneally and Earhart, Yeah, that must be it, right?
Yeah, I mean, Amelia Earhart, but like that really has nothing to do with police work. She was like a pilot that disappeared.
That's even odder than that they would do that.
But I did.
Fitz and Garcia.
Was Fitz and Garcia backup, or was there on? What
was their turn to sleep in?
Oh yeah,
put on the sleeping hat.
And Simpson, since you're a rookie, your beat is Bumville and Junkie Town.
Yeah. Plus, like, do all these towns exist in Springfield where, like, there's Junkieville, Bumtown.
Oh.
In the later episodes, there's Crackton or Cracktown or whatever, where Lisa gets off the bus. End of the line.
Well, Bumtown is where Chester J. Lampwick lives.
Oh, yeah.
You're not a Bumtown, you're no talent bums.
When I assume I told you the story before of my first excursion on the bus. When I was going into town, I was going in with Jordo actually, and we were 12, and we got the 1-2-3 all the way into town, did whatever we were doing, getting some clothes or getting some toys or I don't know, and then we
ended toys
I don't know whatever, and then, but we got on the bus on the same side that just kept going, and it went to like Crumlin.
All right, okay, and, Kimmage or whatever,
yeah, and the driver turned around, he's like, end of the line. I swear to God, it was almost exactly like that bit in The Simpsons. And then I got off and I was like, oh, I don't know where we are. And I remember I called my mom and I was like, yeah, we're somewhere, I don't know where we are, but and I seen a sign for Crumlin, and I was like, but I don't think it's good because it's only 50 quid on the Monopoly board. Irish Monopoly. <Yeah. laughs> Like, Crumlin was the first one.
Crumlin and Kimmage were the two,
like,
brown
squares. It's only 50
squares.
Quid on the Monopoly board, man.
kids, you're lucky to have survived.
Yeah, I know. Me, a gated community kid.
Yeah, and then like you kind of like, I like the ending of it, like where they kind of call back to Marge on the shooting range, where it's like,
"Is Bart home?
Just take Maggie first goal."
Well, I guess I am putting up the Halloweeny decorations a little early. Criticism accepted.
You just take a Maggie for a stroll.
It's like straight out of a video game or something. Milhouse just hiding. Is Bart home?
Grandpa just pops out with the stroller, like, just take a Maggie, like, at like 10 o'clock at night.
He would,
like,
never do that at any time.
Yeah.
I was a fan of the scene when she walks past, she says hi to Lionel Hutz. He's like, I'll have you know that the contents of that dumpster are private. You stick your nose in, you'll be violating attorney dumpster confidentiality.
I liked Homer. Like, this is where I thought it was a bit sketchy when all this stuff was happening. Homer with the tape.
Yeah. This was actually a great... this made me laugh.
Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in... Oh, my Lord. Something horrible has happened.
Fooled you, Flanders. Made you think your family was dead. Did you get it? They're not, though. But you thought they were.
Yeah.
That's why it was so funny. Yeah. But they're not.
It's a good one.
Like, you can see Flanders is so nice. Like, yeah. He's just like trying to process.
Even like he's like walking, like ringing in the sheep. Oh, good Lord, something terrible has happened.
He's like, I made you think your family was dead.
But they're not. Very good. Good one, Homer. You can see why he goes insane in a couple of seasons. Like,
every time, like, if I'm like really annoying Carrie, if we're in the car or if we're somewhere, she always does that, like Ned Flanders in the car, you know, when he's gone. Right now, where he's gone to the insane asylum, where he's like,
dude.
She's going insane.
Yeah. Kicking and screaming, please.
I did like the scene when Apu like thinks that she's here for a bribe, and he's like, 100, 200, 200. No, I mean nothing.
Yeah. Or even the guy, like, again, just jumping around. Where she's going to buy, before she becomes a cop, she's going to buy, she's in the magazine shop, and the new issue of Sponge and Vacuum is in.
Oh, yeah.
And my, one of my favourite names from The Simpsons.
Yeah, what was his name?
Thanks, Benedict Stanciano.
And that's all one name.
I don't know, but it's just
in the,
like,
subtitles it was all one long name.
I just love it. Like, I love, there's a couple of like Marge's line readings that are like really good, even at the very start. Like, come on,
he's getting away. As well, just how tired Homer was after taking like three steps. Like Dan Castellaneta acted that so well, because you really did get the sense that he was gasping for her, like, you know.
Yeah, but that, like, I don't know, I guess, like, it ends. The idea, it makes you feel like it is something like akin to like a Lethal Weapon or something like that, where you actually think something bad might happen to Marge.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it was a proper like action sequence. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah, I did like how they really, like, they just batted away, where Homer's like, "How did you know?" And she's like, "That the jeans would rip." And he's like, "No," and she's like, many years for buying, you know, like, just won't even let him like pull at that thread, like,
no pun intended.
Yeah, oh, there we go. Yeah,
yeah, nice one.
Yeah, that's why we're the best.
That was it. That was such a delicious pun. I don't even want. I don't want to proceed. Like, that was just your run of the mill pun, either.
No,
was,
I just gotta wash it down. Punnage. I wash it down with some lovely lemon juice.
If you'll excuse me, all this punning's making me hungry. Delicious. Absolutely no chance you'd ever getting that again.
No,
it's so sour.
I picked that one.
Bonnie really dropped the ball on that one.
I have like five or six other ones in the fridge I could have picked. I picked that one because it would be a good conversation piece.
Correct. I haven't shut up about it.
Yeah. Shall we get into our ratings?
Sure. Let's cut the crap.
Mm.
Look, our ratings are down and the station is being swamped with angry calls and letter bombs.
Let me ask you something, Mr. Sucker. Mm-hmm. What did you... what are your final thoughts?
There you go. My final thoughts were, I liked it. I didn't dislike it. It's a fun episode, I think, you know?
Yeah.
A bit... I shouldn't say a bit thin, but what I like about it is... It actually has a bit of a progression at the end. You know, it doesn't just peter out. Yeah. You know, it kind of builds to something at the end. That's a big plus for me. at it. Yeah. Like, where some of the episodes this season have kind of just, you know, at the end of it, it's just like, okay, that's it. Whereas at least with this one, you kind of had
a definitive ending.
Like. Your set piece. And it, look, it does obviously revert to, like, marriage leaving. The status quo was upheld by the end of the episode. But
yeah,
there was a kind of progression into getting to that stage, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
And it was, you know, there was definitely funny bits in it. I don't know, at times it just seemed a bit loose or a bit, like, shaggy or something like that, like, you know, like some of the stuff just had, like, no bearing or meaning to it, like that, like that Hutz gag is a perfect example of, like, it's funny, you know, whatever, but it's just like
there's something different about jokes that all thread together. You know what I mean? This one had like it's okay to have those throwaway gags because some of them are some of the most memorable ones, but when they really nail it is when, like, every single joke is, like, directed right at the plot, or it moves everything along. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's why I think, like, the last stretch is the best stretch, because it's all kind of linked and builds together, and like the like, even the fact we didn't even talk about it, but, like, when they're, like, having the, like, the first card game is different to the second card game, you know, like, and, like, the like Homer, when he's hosting the first card game, he's like, oh, it's great, you know, and then his attitude when he seems more down when he's hosting the second card game. Because, like, I was like, oh, it's great that Marge's a cop, and now he's like, oh, you know, whatever. Like, oh, he just seems, like, more annoyed.
Yeah,
and I did like that
because
well,
he can't exploit, like, Marge and their position of being a cop, like.
But even the whole thing of, I can run background checks on anyone I want.
Yeah.
Momar.
Yeah,
he's like, Homer, please, ixnay on the Omaha me.
Can I push you for an MVP, Terry?
I am going to go with Mo.
Nice. Oh, I don't know.
No, it was close. Mo and Marge were the two for me. Homer as well is always in the mix, but I just like. There was enough of Mo that he, like, was a fairly big, or he was involved in enough stuff that I could give it to that. Like, I just loved all his scenes. All his scenes for me were winners this time around. Like, you know,
Mo was quality.
Like, you know, you got the garage.
I wonder why he's so eager to go to the garage.
The garage? Hey, fellas, the garage. Well, ooh-la-dee-da, Mr. Frenchman.
Well, what do you call it?
A car hole.
And my rating.
A rating, Terry.
My rating is going to be a 8.5.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Good.
8.5 matched your last week's score.
Yeah, they're different, but, like, kind of similar for me, I guess. The other one had more heart.
And this one had more laughs.
Yeah, exactly.
Terry, I am going to give my MVP status to Marge. Oh. I just think she doesn't get it often, but she was actually very... Normally when you hear a Marge episode, or at least me anyway, I'm like, ugh. But it was actually great.
This would be one of my top five marriage episodes.
Yes.
You know, like...
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I would give it... I've made a decision, and I would give it a rating of 8.3 of your finest points.
Okay. What's your decision?
8.3.
Oh, when you said, I've made a decision, as if it was like, I'm changing up my rating system.
No, I've made a decision because I wasn't sure... even while we started recording of what I really thought of the episode, because there was big laughs, but then there was other bits that were a bit, you know, hit and miss. But I've decided an 8.3, Terry, so that's my score.
Okay, that's
one
good
lower
for you.
Than last week, and only two lower than you this week. So if I'm anywhere close to you, I feel like I've been fairly optimistic about, enthusiastic, right. Should I say. Anyway, look...
1-1 in the Chelsea game.
I know. Listen, folks. Liverpool can win the title any minute now, so I'm going to go and get our plugs in. Yeah. Terry, Where can they find us?
Why don't you tell me where they could find us, Andy?
How about while I tell the people, you turn on a light in that room, because I can barely see it.
I like it this way.
I don't, frankly.
I'll turn it on for the next recording, all right? Just get it done.
I put it in H podcast, Twitter, Instagram, you know where we are. We're at Facebook. I put it in H, Die Hard Simpsons podcast. You can email us. I put it in hpod at gmail.com. Terry, where else can they find us?
You can find us.
Don't
over.
Slow it down if you haven't. No, okay, no, you can no. Get us. A, you, okay,
no, no. You can find us on Patreon.com.
This is Kevin McAllister, the father.
You can find us on Patreon, where we are, for the low, low fee of $5 a month, we'll get you access to our sister podcast, What's So Great About. It's the podcast where we pick a topic and we try and find out what's so great about it. I'm trying to tell Andy what's so great about the MCU. Seems like he's getting there because we survived Thor 2. If anything, you'd be very surprised with Andy's remarks about it. Like, so
I've had to change my outlook. Iron Man 1 was so abrasive in comparison to like just normal movies. And now I'm sort of in the world, I'm in the mindset, I'm a dog with his head out the window of the car, and I'm just along for the ride.
But we're getting there, folks. I thought that would have been the one where the train came off the tracks, but you'll just have to listen to find out. You also get access to our bi-weekly bonus episodes, where we are basically...
Isn't it bi-monthly?
No, it can actually be both.
What?
Bi-weekly can mean every 2 weeks. And bi-monthly can also mean every 2 weeks.
I'm pretty sure that's not correct.
Look it up.
Okay.
I'll
look it up. And if I'm wrong, I'll come on next week and I'll be the first to apologize.
You will kiss my ass powers.
Thank you very much to everyone who's signed up to the Patreon. So as Terry said, you get our other podcast, and you get 2 other bonus episodes a month, and you also get some goodies, and you can also, if you're interested and you like us and the podcast, or you like putting things in H, you can get a t-shirt.
Well, yeah, of course, the t-shirt.
You can get a t-shirt, and that address that just rolls off the tongue, it's put-it-in-h.company.site.
It's in our bio, it'll be in our show notes. Now,
it's in our Insta bio. Yeah.
If you cannot afford to fiscally support the podcast...
This is such bullshit.
you can help us out by giving us a rating or review. 5 stars goes a long way to help getting us in those... up in those charts again. Get us all up in that business. Mm-hmm. Help us grow this Poznatch.
We want to get all up in that pod. I can't even do it.
Yeah, it's we've been going a while. Yeah, it helps grow the podcast. It helps us get in the charts. Gets more earbuds on the product. Really, if you can't afford the fiver, please give us a rating and review. It really helps.
Really helps us out. Yeah.
And thanks to all those who have in the past.
Yeah, we do really appreciate it. I'm still just. I almost forget when we're recording that people listen to our rambling. So I'm very appreciative that there is people who like to hear us talk about absolutely nothing.
It's very heartening.
Yes, it is. And on that note, Terry, I'm going to say bon appetit to you and bon appetit to the folks at home.
Now, you screwed yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, I did. Cards on the table here. I am checking the score. Okay, I'm going to just go. Folks, thanks very much. Terry, have you got any final words for the people?
Wuzzle wuzzle.
Wuzzle wuzzle? That's a peasant for camera, isn't it?